Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have an important show, one I'm looking forward to because from a health perspective, being exposed to all sorts of toxins and insults from the food we eat, the air we breathe, and I think most people really don't pay attention to the electromagnetic radiation exposure that we're getting, whether that be from our cell phones, our TVs, everything electronic that has Bluetooth, Wi-Fi is really giving our bodies, it's making them work hard and it's a task. And so I wanted to have one of my prior guests come back on. He's a wealth of knowledge and, I think not only knowledge, but a person who's into solutions. And that's Mr. Bill Cadwallader. And he is a certified electromagnetic radiation specialist and also an author of two books, Exposed, The Electronic Sickening of America and How to Protect Yourself, includes dangers of 5G and smart devices, and Quick and Easy EMF Guide, 99 Tips to Lower Harmful Electromagnetic Radiation. He's been a speaker at multiple conventions, and they include the annual Cancer Convention, the Doctor's Symposium, and he's one of the international EMF experts featured at the International EMF Health Summit. He has a facility with Building Biology, and he's served as a coach for Building Biology Institute's apprentice program, and he also provides on-site EMF inspections in several states. And Mr. Cadwallader, I want to thank you so much for joining me today because our conversation last time was excellent, but I think now that we're more attuned to 5G and the new phones coming online, and I have patients starting to ask me questions about safety, I think it's time that we explore this again because I think people are in the mindset to listen and hear and also make changes. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Dr. George, for having me on and getting this most important message out to your listeners. It is getting worse, but there are solutions, as you mentioned, and we'll cover a number of those.
Well, let's start out with the first question. I mean, my patients are pretty savvy and they're pretty astute, but I don't know if most people even know about EMF and why should they care?
There's probably four reasons why you should care. One is your health. One is your children and grandchildren. They're in great peril. And your privacy is compromised as well. And then the environment is affected. And of course, we're all wired to care.
Well, when you say your health, please go through it. Because I mean, when people say health risks, it's not sure. Talked about. So it's kind of nebulous for folks.
Yeah, the glioblastoma multiform brain tumors, the GBMs, are on the rise in the Netherlands, England, Denmark, Australia. And even a USC study confirms that in the U.S. And actually, it's so prevalent that at one point, my wife and I, between us, we had six friends. And within an 18-month time frame, six of them got a brain tumor. So, doctor, when you and I were in our early 20s, how many of our friends got a brain tumor?
None.
Yeah, none. So six of them in basically 18 months. And actually, there was a seventh person I knew of that I worked with, and he actually got one and died. So that's the ultimate problem with these glioblastoma multiforms. Like in the Netherlands, they doubled from 1989 to about 2010. And also in England, they doubled from about the same time. And for your listeners, cell phones came out in the early 90s. So that's about when we start tracking this. And remember, the glioblastoma multiforme tumors we're talking about, they're the high-grade ones, and they're very aggressive tumors. And then also in Denmark, instead of doubling between 95 and 2017, they actually tripled. So it's actually was even higher. And A number of these are related to your cell phone. So if you use your cell phone incorrectly, and we'll talk about the solutions on how to use them correctly, you can actually have 180% higher chance of getting a brain tumor if you use your phone incorrectly. And again, we'll talk about how to use it correctly. And then we actually, besides glioblastoma multiforms, there's also colon cancer and rectal cancer, and young adults are actually increasing. And we thought in the past, you know, 20, 30 years ago, that was only for people 65 and older. And this study was actually done by the American Cancer Society, a recent study, and it shows that adults, male and female, at the age 65, their rate of colon and rectal cancer is dropping. But the problem is, we see between 20 and 49, again, male and female, their rates are actually going up. So how could an older person with a less effective immune system have a lower rate of colorectal cancer than someone 20 to 49, which would have a more active immune system? And often people say, well, could it be bad nutrition, you know, too much fast food, maybe sedentary lifestyle? I mean, how many of the kids now, their whole life is wrapped around computer games or on their phone? Obesity or other risk issues? Or could it be just texting and carrying a cell phone in your back pocket or front pocket? And that's what we found whenever I've measured a cell phone. It's thousands of times the safe level if it's in someone's pocket. And most people think when you're not making a call that the phone is sort of like a brick. It just sits there. But what we've discovered is every 6 to 30 seconds, the cell phone reaches out to the nearest cell tower, the nearest Bluetooth device, or the nearest Wi-Fi device, and it tries to connect. And it's thousands of times the safe level. It's not just cancer. Also, neurobehavioral symptoms near cell towers. So there was a study done in France, and at about 30 feet versus 900 feet, so 30 feet away from a cell tower, the 16 neurobehavior symptoms were a lot higher, I mean, greatly increased. And some of the top ones are fatigue, sleep disturbances, headaches, and those tend to be the three I see the most. And again, this was a cell tower, being closer to a cell tower. Most cell towers, most people nowadays are within any 800 feet to maybe a quarter of a mile now between all the cell towers. And they've increased the small cell towers since 5G because the signal doesn't go as far and they have more people using their phones. So they have to densify the amount of cell towers they can have, and they've already maximized what's on the big towers. So what they're doing is they're putting towers on light posts, and it could be right in front of your house.
Well, let me stop you for a second. Let me stop you for 1 second. I mean, most people would think that if they're in their home and their windows are even open or closed, that would be some sort of barrier to the signal. Apparently, from what you're saying, that offers no protection. Is that correct?
Yes, it offers a little bit of protection, but just to show you, the cell signals go right through walls and most windows. Some of the newer windows, they don't go through as well, but it just comes right through walls. And that's the problem, because if you can make a phone call in your house, then you can connect to the cell tower. And it can be very high. They put up a cell tower by my house about 850 feet away. And normally we want people, if they're highly sensitive, under 100 microwatts. And if they're not highly sensitive or electrically hypersensitive, then we want them into the hundreds. This one room, one of my bedrooms, facing the cell tower, the closest to it was 1700. So way above what we wanted to do. And so that's what people have, is they have the outside cell towers that can be an issue depending upon how close they are and how many antennas they have on them. But then also within a house, if someone puts up a router and they're close to the router, then that can be an issue as well, depending upon how far they're away from the router.
Another quick question. Mm-hmm. I have one quick question on that too.
Sure.
When I first got my router from this, the cell, you know, the company, the router itself was able to become a hotspot. I had to turn that feature off. What does that do when that's actually becoming a source for passing cars and people on the street who can literally connect, use your router as a hub? Is that more dangerous?
You have now twice the radiation. So
wow.
You used to have your own Wi-Fi network inside your house for your use, but now they're creating a whole nother frequency. Normally it's 5.8. And they're actually for the people walking along the roads, so they can continue to be connected if they're part of that provider's service. So yes, it's twice the radiation that you would have had before.
Wow, that's really unacceptable. Plus you're giving free service to the company for them to offer to other people. It doesn't even make sense, but I don't think people even think about that. And one of your information list is the neurobehavioral symptoms, skin problems. Do things like psoriasis or eczema come into play, or does skin cancer come into play with that?
Definitely. There's no question. We'll talk about a little bit later on a school that had high EMFs, and the second highest cancer was actually melanoma.
Wow. Most of the time you think of it as sun exposure only. So we're bringing this toxic source of energy into our right in among, you know, along our bodies in some instance. You know, I know we're going to take a break in a minute, but I want to start off the question with, how are these things on the market when they're putting out this degree of damaging EMF? Are there any tests that have been done in your experience that have quantitated the amount of radiation and health risks before these phones and all these other smart devices come on the market?
What they actually did in the telecommunications law of 1996, 97, the cell phone companies actually wrote that law, that part of the levels. And so what they did is they picked a number. So normally we want people in, if you're measuring in microwatts, and that's what we normally measure in, you want them either under 100 if they're really sensitive. If they're ultra sensitive, under 10. But what I see now in mainstream America, if you're in the low hundreds, then that's a reasonable place to be. So, and the studies, there's again over 5,000 studies that corroborate this. And so the FCC set the limit at 10 million.
What? That's a huge number.
10 million.
Yeah.
10 million.
Jeez.
Instead of 1,000 or under 1,000. And they did that. They wrote the number in, and that was penned in by the cell phone companies. And they wanted to make sure they would never be in violation of the issue. So they could put up a cell tower anywhere they wanted. The cell phone companies could make a cell phone any as powerful as they wanted. And we call that big tech. So now big tech is controlling what we're doing. And that's the issue. And the problem is since 1997, a little history, just one sentence on it, we've been fighting that, or not me personally, but other people since 97, 98. And after about 25 years, they've never been successful because of lobbying dollars. So Big Pharma used to be the biggest lobby, and it's in my book, Exposed. I have all the lobbying dollars by industry, but now they've dropped to number two, and Big Tech, including the electrical utilities, are now the biggest lobbyists. So last time I checked, they were over $500 million just to get Congress and Senate reelected.
Well,
so that's pretty hard to fight against. That's why after 25 years, they've never been successful in reducing that number.
So I think it's even more imperative that you do what you do, because unless you educate the consumer, because all we need to do is withdraw our consent. We stop buying these things. We stop giving them money. All of a sudden, they become accountable to us. And I think that goes along with everything, whether it be places you shop, you know, your doctor that you go to, and now your cell phone company or your tech provider. You really have to be a lot more savvy and protecting yourself, because I don't believe in what you just said, that the government is attuned to, you know, trying to be the advocate for the consumer, even though there's all these supposed consumer protections. They really don't exist from what you just described. On that note, let's take our first break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Bill Cadwalder. And before the break, you did a wonderful job of getting us in the know of how dangerous we're living. And we're living in a soup of EMF from what you described, in our house, outside of our house, in our cars, with the Wi-Fi setups that are now in the car. It's like you can never really get away from it. Is there any... Is there any area outside or that we're not exposed?
If you live in a suburban or urban area, you're constantly exposed. If you go into a big box store to shop, you're constantly exposed with the Wi-Fi. Myself and three other colleagues just went to the largest mobile phone conference and wireless conference in Las Vegas just last week. You know, just to find out what's happening. And we measured the levels in the wireless convention in the areas, and they were off the roof. So at one point, with a millimeter wave phone, we measured 50 million plus.
Just to go back to the previous segment, did you mention that over 100, you know, anything above 100, if you're sensitive, you're going to be symptomatic? Am I reading that correctly? Is that the threshold? Because this is well above that threshold.
So what we want to do in an urban and suburban environment is to have you in the hundreds.
Okay.
If someone is more sensitive and they're already starting to show symptoms like, you know, I can only use my phone for about 10 minutes and then my hand starts to hurt, then we want to get them under 10, under 100. And then if they have trouble even turning on a cell phone, you know, using it for a minute or two, then it's under 10. So that's what we have.
Gotcha.
And most of us can handle things in the hundreds. But again, what the one phone that we measured recently, the brand new 5G millimeter phone, it was actually at over 50 million.
My goodness. And imagine think about how often that is on the person, either in their pocket. People put them in their bras. I've seen that happen.
Right.
It's right next to them. They sleep with it next to their head at bed at night.
Right.
I mean, this is just, you're bathing yourself literally in this. And information that you sent me, this is how subtle it could be. People end up in doctor's offices every day with headaches, memory loss, dizziness, depression, problems with sleep. And I think most healthcare practitioners will start putting them on medication, but nobody really asks them. And I do now after our last interview. I always ask now, where do you keep your cell phone? What's going on with your router? And try to figure out how much exposure they have. I wonder how many of these illnesses, ailments could be cleared up just by turning off and shielding yourself.
It's all attack on your immune system. So it just continues to put a burden on your immune system as well as other things, but these tend to have a point. It's like a point source. So recently we were out to dinner, myself and my wife with another couple. And they asked me what I did, and I mentioned it. And, you know, I said, hey, move your cell phone off your nightstand. If you're only going to do one thing, get that as far away as you can. And then my wife caught up with her not too long ago, and I didn't know this, but she said, I had headaches, and now when I move my cell phone away, I don't have those headaches anymore.
Wow.
It's, you know, it's an interesting thing that, but you're right, we have all these mild symptoms. And when I speak, I have like six slides of symptoms that people don't realize that EMFs could be the contributor. Now, we're not saying that every single disease is caused by EMFs, but is it the straw that broke the camel's back? That's what we're trying to say. And a lot of these we can reduce because we make decisions in our house. Where I charge my cell phone, where the router is, do I turn it off? But we know electromagnetic radiation, it damages the DNA. There's no question about that. It compromises the blood-brain barrier. So that's the barrier. So if you have toxins in your blood and they're going into your brain, those toxins don't get into your brain. But after just a couple of minutes on a cell phone, it actually starts to break down that blood-brain barrier, and certain toxins in your blood can actually migrate to the brain. And then also, it weakens the immune system. I mean, we know it produces stress proteins, it disrupts cell communication, and also interferes with the uptake of calcium. So yes, all of those symptoms that people have, and I'm glad you're asking about where do you charge your cell phone and what's happening with your router. Those are probably the two biggest things I see within a house.
Yeah, I have to thank you again and credit you for educating me, because I've had a couple, for just an anecdotal, I've had a couple of patients who came in with tinnitus, and I asked them, what side of the bed is your phone on? Which ear is it on? No, near. And it was the same side that they kept their phone on. So I asked them to turn it off and put it on airplane mode, get it out of there. And they had a resolution of their tinnitus. It was amazing. I mean, I look like a superhero by saying that to them, but it's, it's awesome. But it's just, we really have to be better as healthcare practitioners in doing detective work. And it really does come down now to everything that the person is exposed to, not only what they eat, but what they're next to and what's on them as well. Now, you know, you've had a lot of health risks listed. We talked about cancer, but ADHD is on that list, isn't it? And autism and asthma. Yes. I mean, these are really, these are the top things that people come in and are being treated for. And you see them on TV all the time, whatever new medication they've come out for. But I think, well, my mentality is always, if you can find the problem, you need to solve that problem. And then you'll get your solution as opposed to masking it. So from the doctor's standpoint, and I know you may not be able to answer this question, but are you seeing more more real thinkers out there in terms of physicians, nurse practitioners, et cetera, looking into EMF and being more aware of it?
Not as many as I would like to see, but about 2 years ago, they produced an EMF medical summit. And that was directly targeted to any in the health, you know, the health community. Mm-hmm. And so they had a lot of doctors speaking on that. And so it was the first attempt to actually get doctors and other healthcare practitioners involved to ask those simple questions. And I have a questionnaire that I actually send out to people that, I give to people before I have a phone consultation or go out to their house, with all the other issues, you know, that they might have. It gives me an idea and it alerts the person, oh, I didn't know that in my house could cause a problem. So, if your listeners would like that, I'd be happy to send that, you know, questionnaire out, and they could just see some of those things that they have and then maybe either unplug them or maybe not use them as much.
That would be excellent. I'd appreciate that. And we talked about the adults. I can imagine what it's doing to the children, because they're little, their skulls are thinner, their bodies are developing, their cell turnover is much higher than an adult, so you can cause damage and then have it perpetuate down the road. Is it affecting children and for grandparents, their grandchildren?
Huge, huge. Thomas McInerney, president of the American Academy of Pediatrics, said children are disproportionately affected by environmental exposures, including cell phone radiation. And as you hold that phone up to your ear, think about the size of a child's head and the thickness of the skull versus an adult. So we have pictures where we show it penetrates maybe a third into an adult's head, maybe a half, but for a teenager. But as a child's head, then it actually goes up to 70% through the brain from one side to the other. So it's definitely big issues. And I go out to a consumer electronics show they have in Las Vegas. It's one of the biggest shows in Las Vegas, all the new wireless devices and gadgets that they have. And if I can, I'd like to highlight three things I've seen recently.
Please.
One was a Bluetooth baby bottle. So literally, it tells the parent on their phone how much liquid is left and how warm the liquid is. So if you think about it, that's constantly transmitting. So now a child is clasping a cell phone in their hands close to their chest. That is not good. That is not good. And then the second thing I saw was they had diapers and had a Wi-Fi indicator on it, where it told the parent on their cell phone how wet the diapers were and if it's trying to change. Now we've taken a cell phone tower and we've wrapped it around the baby's stomach. That is not good. And finally, the last thing I want to highlight is a Bluetooth pacifier. So a child is sucking on a pacifier. It tells the parent what the temperature of the child is. Now, a baby is sucking on a cell tower. How can that be? What happened was, there's no pre-market studies on this. There's no long-term studies on these Wi-Fi babies. They just produced the product. And besides all the radiation issues, there's also a digital overdosing, and it's literally changing the way the child's brains are processing and retaining information. You know, our brains were never, especially the developing brains of our children, were never designed to handle the constant assault of radiation. And where does a child normally hold a, you know, like a tablet? They hold it right on their stomach, or to process the extreme sensory overload, and the physical, mental, and emotional health of our young people are at great risk. And it's just a huge problem that we have with children and with these devices so close. And in my book, Exposed, I talk about DDT, the new DDT. What's the dosage of the device? What's the distance of the device from that person or that child? And what's the time they're exposed? So you want to minimize the time and increase the distance of any device that you have.
So it sounds like if you're using a cell phone, you don't want to use a Bluetooth earbud. You'd rather use it on speakerphone.
Always.
Okay. And you made me think about these supposed gadgets that help you, you know, sleep better, et cetera. What about those sleep beds, which are coming out to measure how deep you're sleeping, change the temperature from hot to cold? Are those are Wi-Fi driven, aren't they?
Yeah, most of them are Bluetooth or Wi-Fi driven. So besides, you're sitting on a pile of wires. So even the wires with electricity creates what we call electric radiation and magnetic radiation and dirty electricity. Now we put in the wireless component as well. So I can't tell you, I had a lady where we went into her house. She had a special pad on her bed, It was plugged into the wall, you know, I forgot what it did. And then what happened was the numbers were off the charts for electric and magnetic radiation. So I said, we've got to unplug this. It wasn't Wi-Fi driven or wireless driven, but it was high electric and magnetic radiation from wires. And so, so we did that. The numbers came way down. And then about 2 or 3 days, I got a text from her. She said, for the first time since I've been using this pad, first time I woke up, my teeth weren't, my jaw wasn't completely clenched. Every morning she would wake up and her jaw was completely clenched. It was just their body's trying to protect itself, and that's what it was doing, clenching her jaw.
Amazing. Look, yep. Well, it's just all this convenience is really not, it's causing issues, and people are so, you know, oblivious to it. And we're just making the situation worse by just ignoring the root cause and trying to mask the symptom with the mindset of you are cutting edge and you're getting to know your body, but in actuality, you're damaging your body while you're wearing this. And I guess my next question would be these wearables, these Fitbits, the rings that people wear to try to figure out their biorhythms and their heart rate, et cetera. Are those also giving us issues because they're Bluetooth and wirelessly driven?
Yes, yes. I was at the Consumer Electronics Show, and I don't tell people what I do. I just collect information for my book. So in the back of my book, just a small little commercial, I have for every room of the house, any wireless or wired device that could cause a problem. Like someone says, hey, I have a nursery. Oh, I didn't know that thing in the nursery could cause a problem. So a lady had AirPods, which are the, you know, Bluetooth, so you can listen on an Apple phone, mm-hmm. and or any type of phone. And what happened was, again, we want you in the hundreds if you're sort of normal. And so I measured the Apple iPods, the ones in the ear, it was 172,000 on one side.
Wow. I mean, it's
and remember, if you have two, they communicate with one another right through your brain.
Wow. That's incredible. It's amazing more people don't have issues than, well, maybe they don't report them, they don't really understand, but, you know, not word searching, brain fog, all those little headaches, all those subtle little things may be your body alerting you to not do it. Let's take our next break because I want to talk about the privacy side of this when we come back. So let's take our next break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Bill Cadwallader. And you can go to his website. It's still stopdirtyelectricity.com. Am I correct?
Yes. And I also have a YouTube channel called Stop Dirty Electricity. So if they want me to, you know, if they want to know how to measure a bedroom or how to measure a phone or different things, then I have a lot of YouTubes on small little YouTube videos.
Well, that would be very helpful. Now, before the break, I wanted to go into privacy, and you ask a question, is privacy a thing of the past? And is it, or is this something that's protecting our privacy?
It is a thing of the past, unfortunately. And so what we help with our clients is we try to minimize it. But every time you speak into your phone, every time you search anything on your phone, then the phone manufacturer or Google, they actually keep that and they form a behavior list of what you might do or what you might not do or what you might not be interested. And then you get ads for that, you know, on your phone. So they're constantly collecting information. And that's on the phone, whatever you do on a phone. And most of the time you can't opt out of that. They have ways of taking off some of it, but most of the time they have other ways of actually going, getting it another way. And now, like in Las Vegas a couple of years ago, they already had 77,500 sensors on light posts and intersections. And what they did is they were photography, so they could actually capture any of the license plates that were going down the road. And then a lot of them actually have a microphone. So unbeknownst to you, if you're talking to someone coming down the road, you pass underneath that or close to that, they're actually recording your voice. And all of the phones that we use, anything we use on a phone, they have legal agreements where you say, I don't own that information. Again, Apple owns it, Android owns it, Google owns it, whoever. So again, your privacy is really is being compromised nowadays. It's a scary thing. So there was a lady, they had a smart light. So they had lights, light bulbs throughout their house, and they were smart lights. You could dim them, make them different colors or things like that. And what happened was it has its own little software in that light, and it was compromised, and they had a camera actually in a young girl's room. And someone hacked into the system because of the smart light bulb they had. That's how they got into the system. And they were watching a young girl in her room because the parents had a camera.
So that also...
I don't know what the privacy invasion is, if it's not that, I do not know what it is.
That's not it for sure. So that's a smart light. What about people who use the surveillance, basically surveillance cameras in their home for anti-theft? Is that also hackable, like a baby monitor or anything that you're using to monitor your family that potentially is looking at you all the time? Is that a way to think about it?
Yeah, it could be hackable, and that's how it is, because you have all these different devices with all the different software. And so people can come in through these devices. They're almost all connected to your Wi-Fi, and that's how they sort of get in. So I personally, when I go out to a house, I recommend that people don't necessarily have cameras inside their house, but if they want cameras, they keep them on the outside. But if you have a certain security or other reason to have that, you know, just be aware that all of this is hackable because of all the different operating systems we have, you know, all these different devices we have streaming through our Wi-Fi.
So imagine the average person, all of the data that they're giving about their biometrics, their habits, their sleeping habits, their movement, what they're saying. I mean, this is, you're like in a fishbowl.
And it's all legal, because when you operate these devices, you give away all those rights.
We talk a lot about, people talk about the climate and the environment. All of these satellites and these smart devices on the light poles and the 5G antennas, et cetera, how is that affecting the environment? We don't really talk about that.
They have a number of studies where they show bees, they show trees, they show animals or living beings like that, that once they get, like they did a study where they put a cell phone inside a beehive and the bees never came back. And they show that when you have a cell tower or when you have a small or a large one, that you won't have the insects close to that. They will die out. They will just not get near that because it's so damaging to them and their way of life. So again, you have a whole segment of wildlife that's affected by the closer they are, to the antenna. But think of that. I was in a house and I was going through the house. And they had several cats, and they had a router right next to their TV. And about 3 feet away from that router was a cat tree. And so I measured it. It was in the hundreds of thousands. Normally, routers will actually be in the millions. And so I said, hey, you know, what you need to do is either move the router on the other side of the TV, you know, as far away as you can, or move the cat tree as far away as you can. And I never give distances because every year these things become more powerful. So it's always as far away as you can. She said, you know, I'm glad you told me that, but I lost two cats within 1 month. They both died of brain cancer and they were in that cat tree. And so when I go into a house and they have pets, I always ask where the pets, you know, sort of live and sleep and things like that. And we make sure we measure where those animals stay. But that just showed you, here's an animal, two nice cats, 3 feet away, and they both developed brain tumor within 2 months. I mean, in the same month, actually.
Wow.
It's just so, so sad.
That is sad. Now, let's segue now, or I says transition into solutions, because we have, I know we're going to take a break, but I want to start the conversation. You spoke, and I've been on your site, the Stop Dirty Electricity, and you have specialized filters that can go onto the windows that can block EMF. What is that? Can you explain that? And also, I'm sure we're going to take a break, but I want to start off with things that people can do physically to literally stop or lower the amount of exposure coming from outside into the home.
So just a little background, there's two types of radiation. Think of the power of three, the radiation through the air, Wi-Fi, wireless, and Bluetooth, and then radiation on the wires, electric, radiation, magnetic, and dirty electricity. And so if someone has a cell tower close to them, so and we can shield that, but whenever we get into shielding, and that's the last step, that's the very last thing we want to do. But what we do is we have different levels of shielding, and you always have to measure before and after. Because all our shielding, 99.9% of all our shielding products are reflective. So you can put something like on a window, but if you have a router right next to that inside the house, then it will bounce off that material and then actually be higher inside the house. So you always have to watch out. But there is shielding as a last resort that we can do, either metal, either fabric, or paint. There's actually paint. And then if it's a window, we have window film that can do that as well.
Is the window film also, it's a reflective technology as well on that?
Yes. Okay. Almost everything we have is reflective technology. So what we do is, to see if it will work, we hang up a piece of material. So we have material that will block radiation. So we first put that up and make sure the radiation goes down. So if it does and they don't want the material across the window, then they can put the window film up. But you always have to measure before and after with an adequate meter. So on my website, people always ask me what meters to buy. So I have consumer meters that people can buy so they can measure before and after. Although most of the time with shielding, I would always recommend they use a certified electromagnetic radiation specialist. And there's a number of us in the U.S. that can come in with our, that can measure before and after. But yes, it is reflective.
Gotcha. Let's take our last break because I don't want to stop you in the last segment from really getting everything that's going to help us out. So let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking about EMF and the topic is now how we can protect ourselves and strategies we can use. Certainly the services that you offer, the home inspections, and now you have phone consultations, so people don't have to be out west in order to access your services. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. And then I would be happy to do that. My first choice is always to have someone, if they're close to another person, another certified electromagnetic radiation specialist to go inside the house because they just have more understanding and they can see things. You know, it's just difference on seeing things. Mm-hmm. But if that doesn't work, like I'm talking to a person from Utah there's no one around them. So again, they have meters, and then we can do a consult with that and reduce it by a great amount.
Got you. So before the break, we talked about signals or frequencies coming into the home. What about the home? You mentioned, we talked a bit about dirty electricity, but what is that exactly?
So there's three radiations on the wire. There's electric and magnetic. Think about low frequencies, like music scale, low frequencies. They create radiation. And there's mid frequencies or mid notes, like on a music scale. That's dirty electricity that's got captured on the wire. Their Wi-Fi, their high frequency voltage transients and harmonics that have got captured on the wire, and they come out 6 to 8 feet. So they can be a huge problem. There was a school, a middle school, where 24 teachers, and they had very high dirty electricity levels, 24 teachers at a single middle school got cancer. And then what made it worse is at that middle school, when the kids got to their 20s, 49 kids developed cancer in their 20s. And Dr. George, when you're in your early 20s, how many of your friends had cancer?
Again, zero, thank God.
Yeah, zero. This is 49 at a single school. And then the number 12 is the worst number of all, because six teachers died and six students died. And the top cancer in that school, it was 13 times the expected rate of thyroid cancer, 10 times melanoma. And that's the skin cancer I was talking about earlier, and 9 times the uterine cancer. And that was just the top cancer. So dirty electricity is very, very important. And out of the six radiations, that's the only one that we actually install filters that can knock it down. So that's the good news on dirty electricity.
Well, these filters, I've seen some, I actually purchased some recently. They plug into the actual outlet and you can plug whatever electronic device in to them. And that's the kind of the filter we were talking about, correct? It's not like you have to have an electrician come in and change your wiring. It's actually pretty user-friendly.
Yeah, and when I speak, I talk about Green Wave and Stetzer. The Green Wave, they have the meter and filters, and that's the filter you were talking about. I like either of them. The one nice thing that Green Wave does, and I would always recommend a meter. So it's about $120, $125. And then if you buy the meter and a number of filters, and you plug the meter in, you plug in a filter, and you get it down to a reasonable level, and if you return the meter within 30 days, you get all your money back for the meter and any filter you didn't use.
That's pretty nice.
But a Stetzer and Stetzer meter works well as, and since they're plug-ins, you can move them to your next dwelling.
And do you recommend that people, I mean, how much square foot footage, I guess, is footage. How much does it cover? Do you have to buy one for all of your outlets or outlets that you only plug things into?
So normally you can call Green Wave or Stetzer and they'll tell you the size of the house and the bedrooms. But what I do is I plug it where you sit, stand, and sleep. So if all you do is go to the garage and you just get in your car and drive away, I wouldn't plug one in there. So, and if you have a bedroom no one goes into, I wouldn't plug it in. But just think about 6 to 8 feet. And you need the meter because sometimes, I'm in the Southwest, we have tons of solar. And solar normally makes the dirty electricity go very, very high, as well as pool pumps. And so you'd want the meter, and depending upon what the meter says, and after you plug in the filter, sometimes you have to plug in two filters or, you know, maybe three filters. But a lot of times, if there's not a lot of solar around, maybe you plug in, you know, one or two filters per living space, if you will.
Got you. And what about the strategy of the turning off your router?
Yeah, we would always recommend that whenever, if you can turn off your router, I would always do that. But unfortunately, nowadays, if you have a Ring doorbell, if you have a security system that works on Wi-Fi, if you have Nest thermostats, what happens is they work off Wi-Fi. And so normally you can't turn those off. But so there are shielding solutions. It's called the signal tamer that you can put over your router to knock down the signal. The router is designed to go pretty good distances, you know, not just the house, but a lot of times they'll go one or two houses down the neighborhood. And so that's, if you can't turn your router off at night, which we'd recommend, but if there's safety or security issues, then I would recommend using a shielding bag. And if you go out to my website, stopyourelectricity.com, it's called the signal tamer. And I've just put those devices, those products that people ask me the most about so they can find it easier. You can also use a remote control cutoff switch if you can turn off your router, you know, and then you can also put it on a timer. But the router does put out a lot of radiation.
And I would assume the new, faster 10G, so we're having here in the South in Georgia, that's even more radiation, right? The faster it is, the more powerful it must be.
Yeah, the more the faster a signal, the more the radiation it puts out. There's no doubt. There's no question. So again, strategies for routers, try to get it as far away as you can from you. If you can't turn it off, then put over one of those signal tamer bags.
Is it worth it to go back to the landline phones and get rid of the cordless home phones for those who still have them?
Yeah, I have a cordless phone, and if I have to make a call, then I'll use the landline phone. So if you can get a landline phone, and you can't have a portable handset, so you've got to make sure if you have a portable handset, then it's still communicating with the base unit. And you have to make sure when you get a landline, you actually plug it in. It's not generated from a cable modem that actually sends a signal wirelessly. It has to be all wired.
That makes sense. And what about your phone? Is airplane mode a strategy? But I assume you have to turn off airplane turns off the Wi-Fi, but I don't believe it turns off the Bluetooth. So you have to turn that off as well, don't you?
Yeah. So sometimes airplane mode just depends on what phone you have and what make and model. Is airplane turns off the cell, the voice and the text, and then Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. Sometimes you always have to check to make sure those go off as well. And sometimes when they update your phone, so let's say your phone happens to turn off Bluetooth and Wi-Fi when you ever put airplane mode on. But then when you get a new update, they might change that from Apple or Android, where now that doesn't work anymore. So whenever you put it in airplane mode, make sure you check Bluetooth and Wi-Fi are off as well.
That's good to know. No, time goes way too fast, but I want to make sure that people know how to get your books, because your quick and easy EMF guide, that's a really shorthand. It's just really just the highlights of what you can do. Pretty straightforward. Am I correct?
Yes. My wife wrote that, and it's more toward ladies and kids. And it's like, hey, I just want to know what to do. One more thing on the cell phone. If you have an Apple cell phone, or an Apple device, if it says under Bluetooth or Wi-Fi not connected, that means it's still trying to connect and it's putting out a huge radiation. So it has to say off, off. It can't say not connected.
That's good to know. You know, you do such a wonderful job. I really, really appreciate your time. This is all about us being able to take our control back for our health. And people don't necessarily think of this, but this taking the control and changing your environment, I think, is one of the best things and most efficient ways to keep your body functioning properly.
Definitely. And parents, don't let your child sleep with their cell phone. So I knew of a 16-year-old, and she had a 6-hour surgery, and it was a tumor on the side of her face. And she slept right with her cell phone. And the lady told me about that. And I said, okay, I hope someone tells her, don't sleep next to it. Because remember, even if you're not on it, every six to 30 seconds, it's trying to connect. through a cell tower Bluetooth Wi-Fi. And then I saw the lady who told me the story. The girl's now is 17. She said it grew back, and at this point it was cancerous, and she had a 9-hour surgery. And she literally had to have plastic surgery because she slept with her phone right next to her pillow. Yeah. So parents, please move those phones.
I think that's a great place to end with a call to action. Mr. Cadwallader, I appreciate you. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I look forward to having you back. Anytime you want to come on, I think what you do is really, it's God's work. So thank you.
Thanks again for getting the message out, because people can do so many things inside their house to really lower their radiation burden.
I think you're right. And I hope everybody takes this and runs with it. On that note, I want to thank everybody.
One last thing on my cell tower, my website. I have 10 things you can do right now to minimize your wireless radiation. So it's a free download. You can just go to stopyourelectricity.com and just click on that. And there's 10 things someone can do right now.
Well, awesome. Thank you again. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.